Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Sunday, second class, July 10th, 2022, Romans.
When I was at Dallas Theological Seminary, we had an enrollment of 800. Chapel, a lot of the time chapel, you could sleep through chapel, you didn't miss anything. One year, and I knew that Deb and I were going to be getting married, and so I did my master's thesis my third year instead of my fourth year. And while I was doing my master's thesis, I was also working as a security guard all night long, working all night long and getting off about 6 in the morning. And I had an 8 o'clock class after working all night. 8 o'clock class was Ethiopic. And when I got into chapel, I didn't sleep all night, so I slept during chapel. I didn't miss too much. And I don't think anybody, they just probably, when we bowed in prayer, that Olson is very, he's praying, what a prayer warrior he is. Well, of course, I gave it away when I drooled on my tie. And I had two great guys on each side of me that I said, if you would just wake me up so that I don't still stay here after everybody's gone. Well, every once in a while, we had Dr. Unger showed up and he taught. It was fantastic. It was a fantastic chapel. But most of the rest, you didn't miss too much. Well, there was something I always remember. 800 male voices. And a lot of these guys in their churches, they were in the choir. They could sing. 800 male voices singing these hymns. It was spectacular. That I will always remember. Fantastic. Now, then God brought me here. If I had 800 magnums, it would be great. No, but don't worry about it. The Bible says, make a joyful noise, and you fulfill that literally. So, as we get ready for part two, a few moments of silent prayer. Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have magnified your word over all of your name. And therefore, the word of God is more important than the very air that we breathe. And as we assemble this morning to fellowship in your word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of your word to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Romans 4, verse 22. Therefore also it, faith in Christ, was imputed to him, Abraham, as righteousness, divine righteousness from God. Now in verses 23 and 24, we have the purpose of Abraham as the pattern for salvation. Verse 23, now it was not written for his sake alone. This is the postpositive conjunction de plus the aorist passive indicative of grapho with the objective negative uk. Prepositional phrase dia plus the accusative of autos and the accusative singular adjective monos. The postpositive conjunction de it is transitional, not a conjunction of contrast. It's transitional. You could be translated and, moreover, than, now. And then we have grapho. G-R-A-P-H, long O. Grapho. Grapho, of course, we get graphics and... This is the word in the Greek to write. It is used here to introduce a quotation. In fact, it's introducing a couple of quotations from the God-breathed scripture. Specifically, it's referring to Genesis 15:6 and Romans chapter 4, verse 3. The objective negative ook slams the door. Genesis 15:6. Romans 4:3, do not apply to only Abraham. That's what this is saying. Genesis 15:6 again. Abraham believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, and he credited to him as righteousness. And then Romans 4:3, indeed, what does the scripture say? Quoting from Genesis 15:6, now Abraham believed in the God Jesus Christ, and it his faith in Christ was credited to him, Abraham, for righteousness. Now, this is saying that these quotations, Genesis 15:6, Romans 4:3, the objective negative, ook, it does not apply to only Abraham. This is the pattern of salvation for the whole human race, for everyone. This is the pattern for salvation. Dia plus the accusative of autos is for his sake. For his sake, Abraham. For his sake, manos. Manos. M-O-N-O-S. Now, manos... it is an adjective many times, but when it's in the neuter gender, this is important. When it's in the neuter gender, it, as it is in our verse, now it is an adverb, and you translate it only or alone. So, corrected translation. Now, it was not written for his sake alone. It was not written for his sake only. So now it was not written, Genesis 15:6, Romans 4:3, it was not written for his sake, for Abraham only, for Abraham alone, that it was imputed to him. And this is hati plus the aorist passive indicative of logizomai. There's our verb for imputation, plus the dative singular of autos. Hati, H-O-T-I. Hati, sometimes it's a causal, but not here. Here it's used to introduce a quotation, the quotation of Genesis 15:6. And then logizomai, which we have, this is the Greek verb for imputation, to impute, to credit to one's account. And then the dative singular of autos, to him, to Abraham. And then the dative case is the dative indirect object, the one in whose interest and benefit something is given. So, corrected translation. Now, it was not written for his sake only. It was not written for his sake, Abraham alone, that it, righteousness from God, was imputed to him, and as a result of his faith in Christ. One, Genesis 15:6 is not just how Abraham received eternal salvation. Genesis 15:6 is not just how Abraham alone or Abraham only was saved. Two, Genesis 15:6 is the pattern of salvation for the whole human race. It's the pattern of salvation for the whole human race. Three, the righteousness from God is imputed to anyone, any place, anywhere, who simply believes in Jesus Christ. Faith alone, in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. The righteousness from God is imputed to anyone, any place, anywhere, who simply believes in Jesus Christ. Abraham is the pattern for the whole human race for eternal salvation. He's the pattern. Four, Abraham is the pattern of salvation for the whole human race, for Jews and Gentiles alike. Abraham is the pattern of salvation for the whole human race, for Jews and Gentiles alike. Five, Jews are not saved by keeping the works of the Mosaic Law. At the first advent of the Lord Jesus Christ, and who was the one who sent Jesus Christ from heaven to earth? On that very first Christmas, God the Father. God the Father loved the world so much that He gave His Son. He sent His Son from heaven to earth. He sent Him from heaven to earth to take on true humanity, to go to the cross and pay the penalty for the whole sins. When Jesus Christ was here at the first advent, most of the Jews were not saved. They weren't even saved. They thought they were the experts. They were the ones who knew all about the Old Testament. They knew all about the Mosaic Law. They thought they knew. They thought they were great, great believers. And Jesus Christ said to them again and again, they're not even saved. You're not even saved. Salvation comes through faith in the Messiah. Jesus Christ is the Messiah. And they hated Christ. They crucified Christ. So most of the Jews at the time when Jesus Christ was here, they hated Jesus Christ. And they thought that they were going to be in heaven. They thought they were great believers because they were doing the works of the Mosaic Law. But we got, look at all the Gentiles, look at all the people, maybe you know family, friends, relatives. Maybe you know that they are very impressed with how nice they are and all the good things they do. And that because they do a lot of good things and they're nice, that if there is a heaven, not really too sure if there is, but they'll be there because they do a lot of good things. They are very nice. And that's not true. That's no different than the Jews trying to keep the Mosaic Law for salvation. No one will be in heaven because of the works that they do, whether it's keeping the Mosaic law or doing human good deeds. So Abraham is the pattern of salvation for the whole human race, for Jews and Gentiles alike. 5. Jews are not saved by keeping the works of the Mosaic law. Jews are not saved by keeping the works of the Mosaic law. Six, Jews are imputed with the righteousness from God. How? By simply believing in Jesus Christ. Jews are imputed with the righteousness from God by simply believing in Jesus Christ. Faith alone in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. 7. Likewise, Gentiles are not saved by their human good works. Gentiles are not saved by their human good works. Eight, Gentiles are imputed with the righteousness from God by simply believing in Jesus Christ. So 9, Abraham is not only the pattern for salvation, but he also is the pattern for spiritual maturity, and that's the great parenthesis, verses 17 to 21. So Abraham is not only the pattern for salvation, but he's also the pattern for spiritual maturity, Romans 4, 17 to 21. So verses 22 and 23 sounds like this. Therefore also it, faith in Christ, was imputed to him, Abraham, as righteousness, divine righteousness from God. Now it was not written for his sake only that it, righteousness from God, was imputed to him. Then verse 24. But for us also. This is the conjunction Allah plus the conjunction Chi plus the prepositional phrase dia plus the accusative plural, the personal pronoun ego. Allah, conjunction of contrast, but, correctly translated, but, we have with it chi, but this time chi is an adjunctive chi. K-A-I, adjunctive, and you translate the adjunctive chi also. Also, but also. In verse 22, we have not only Abraham. In verse 23, we have, but also for our sake. In verse 22, Genesis 15:6 is not only how Abraham was saved, but also, verse 23, Genesis 15:6 is the pattern of salvation for everyone. So not only Abraham, but also for everyone. Dia plus the accusative means because of, for the sake of, so the corrected translation. But also for our sake. But also for our sake, to whom it shall be imputed. So here we have, we're still in the imputation paragraph. To whom it shall be imputed. This is the dative plural, the relative pronoun host, plus the present active indicative of mellow, plus the present middle infinitive of logizomai. There's our word again for imputation. The dative plural, the relative pronoun host, to whom all believers throughout human history, that's to whom, all believers throughout human history, and then mellow, M-E-L-L, long O, mellow. Now, mellow denotes an action that necessarily follows a divine decree. It can be translated is destined. That's a good translation. Destined, or must, or will certainly result. So is destined, or must, or will certainly, that's mellow. The subject is the third person singular, it, referring to the righteousness from God. Mellow is used with the infinitive, the present infinitive of logizomai, to be imputed. So, corrected translation, but also for our sake, it, the righteousness from God, is destined to be imputed. And then we have a terrible translation in the King James. If we believe. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say if we believe. Now, A, that's if, conditional particle. Sometimes you can have a participle that functions as a verb and it is concessive, and you can translate it that way. But this is not a participle used as a verb. This is a noun. It's tois pistelethon. You see, how could those King James translator translate that? It's tois pistelethon. This is the articular present active participle of pistelo. The articular participle functions as a substantival participle. It's a noun. And it should be translated to the ones who believe. To the ones who believe. Pistelo, to believe, is the mechanics of salvation. The mechanics of salvation is faith. Faith in Jesus Christ. But also for our sake, it, the righteousness from God, is destined to be imputed, or will certainly be imputed, to the ones who believe. To the ones who believe in Him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. Now, maybe this didn't set up a red flag. When I was first exegeting this, a red flag went up initially. But also, for our sake, it, the righteousness from God, will certainly be imputed to the ones who believe. To the ones who believe what? To the ones who believe in Him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. To the ones who believe in who raised up Jesus from the dead. This is God the Father. So we have the prepositional phrase epi plus the accusative singular of the articular participle of egeiro, plus the accusative singular of Jesus, with the accusative singular of kurios, with the definite article, plus the genitive plural of the personal pronoun ego, and the prepositional phrase ek, plus the genitive plural of nekros. Epi plus the accusative means in or on, and then the verb egeiro. E-G-E-I-R, long O, egeiro. Now, egeiro, literally, it meant to wake up people that are sleeping. To wake up people that are sleeping, to rouse people who are sleeping. That's literal translation. Figuratively, it means to raise or to resurrect. This is one of the verbs for the resurrection. The articular participle is substantival, functions as a noun. The one who resurrected. The one who resurrected Jesus, our Lord. But also for our sake, it, the righteousness from God, will certainly be is destined to be imputed to the ones who believe in the one who resurrected Jesus our Lord. And ek plus the plural of nekros, out from the dead ones. Corrected translation then. But also for our sake, it, the righteousness from God, will certainly be imputed to the ones who believe in Him, God the Father, who resurrected Jesus our Lord out from the dead ones. Got that? Make sure you get this. But also for our sake, it, the righteousness from God, will certainly be imputed to the ones who believe in Him, God the Father, who resurrected Jesus our Lord out from the dead ones. Okay. One is a question. Why does it say, believe in Him, God the Father, who resurrected Jesus our Lord? And why doesn't it say, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? I'm sure you all were right there. That's the first point. Why does it say, believe in Him, God the Father, who resurrected Jesus our Lord? Why doesn't it say, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? Two, Romans 4:24 is not the only verse where the object of faith is God the Father. Romans 4:24, our verse, is not the only verse where the object of faith is God the Father. Three, the Lord Jesus Christ taught the very same thing. The Lord Jesus Christ taught the very same thing. All right. Some of you are looking at me like trying to get a thought to go through, and that may never happen. Let's go to John chapter 5. John chapter 5. John chapter 5, if you'll notice, there is a lot, if you have a red letter edition, there's a lot of red letters. That means Jesus Christ is teaching. John 5, verse 24. Jesus Christ is teaching, and He says, I tell you the truth, whoever hears My word and believes in Him who sent Me. Now, Jesus Christ is stating, who believes in Him who sent Him. Who sent Jesus Christ? God the Father. This is the procession. God the Father designed Operation Grace, the cross, and that required God the Son to be sent from heaven to earth to carry out Operation Grace. So Jesus says, I tell you the truth, whoever hears My word and believes in Him who sent Me, God the Father, he has eternal life. He has eternal life by faith in God the Father, and will not be condemned. He is crossed over from death to life. Well, you see, I got a few people that are pastors in here. They aren't pastors, but they always think that they are pastors. This is Jesus Christ teaching this. Paul taught this. I tell you the truth, whoever hears My word and believes in Him God the Father, who sent me, he has eternal life, and he will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. So, Romans 4:24 is not the only verse where the object of faith is God the Father. The Lord Jesus Christ taught the exact same thing, John 5:24. God the Father designed Operation Grace, the cross. God the Father designed Operation Grace, the cross. 5. God the Father sent God the Son from heaven to earth on that very first Christmas, the incarnation of the eternal Son of God. The incarnation and virgin birth of Jesus Christ. God the Father sent God the Son from heaven to earth on that very first Christmas. The incarnation and virgin birth of the eternal Son of God. 6. The incarnation of the eternal Son of God on that very first Christmas was the greatest miracle that the world will ever see. The incarnation of the eternal Son of God on that very first Christmas was the greatest miracle that this world will ever see. 7. Jesus Christ took on true humanity to go to the cross and solve mankind's problem of sin. Jesus Christ took on true humanity to go to the cross and solve mankind's problem of sin. 8. God the Father gathered up the sins of the whole world and imputed them to Christ on the cross. And then he judged our sins in Jesus Christ once and for all. God the Father gathered up the sins of the whole world and imputed them. This was judicial imputation number one, which we studied. And imputed them to Christ on the cross and then judged our sins in Jesus Christ once and for all. 9. Then God the Father resurrected our Lord Jesus Christ out from the dead one. Then God the Father resurrected our Lord Jesus Christ out from the dead ones. 10. So believing in Jesus Christ is tantamount to believing in God the Father who sent Christ from heaven to earth on that very first Christmas. So believing in Jesus Christ is tantamount to believing in God the Father who sent Christ from heaven to earth on that very first Christmas. 11. So when you believe in Christ, in effect, you also believe in God the Father, whether you realize it or not. The author of Operation Grace, the cross. So when you believe in Christ, in effect, you believe in God the Father, whether you realize it or not, the one who is the author of Operation Grace, the cross. 12. The moment you believe in Jesus Christ, you are believing in God the Father also. The moment you believe in Jesus Christ, you are believing in God the Father also. Thirteen, by raising Christ from the dead, God the Father declared dogmatically that Jesus Christ had won the great strategic victory on the cross, the greatest battle ever fought was the battle of Christ on the cross. So while Christ is the only Savior, God the Father is inseparably linked. While Christ is the only Savior, God the Father is inseparably linked. He's inseparably linked four ways. One, as the author of Operation Grace, the cross. Two, the imputation of the world's sins to Christ while he's on the cross. The imputation of the world's sins to Christ while he's on the cross. Three, the judgment of the world's sins in Christ while he's on the cross. Four, the resurrection of Christ from the dead. So while Christ is the only Savior, God the Father is inseparably linked as the author of Operation Grace, the cross. God the Father designed it, and God the Son said, "Yes, sir, I'll do it." So God the Father is inseparably linked as the author of Operation Grace, the cross. The one who imputed the world's sins to Christ on the cross, the one who judged the world's sins in Christ on the cross, and the one who resurrected Christ from the dead. So while Christ is the only Savior, God the Father is inseparably linked. Got it? All right. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.